Back to you guys. Well, I get this all set up. Looks like we've gone live. Allow me to introduce myself. My name's Gary, and I usually have my wife Gloria here with me, but she's doing family stuff tonight, so I'm flying solo. Well, not really solo. I've got all the other faces on the screen here to pitch in and give me a hand. We're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD UK 3D Bible Study. And what makes it 3D is the fact that you guys can interact with us. That's you. You can get on your smart devices and at the very least tell us where you are in the world and ask questions, and we'll do our best to answer them for you. So right now I'm going to ask Lindy. And then we'll go to Tom and Wendy, and then over to John and down to Craddock to introduce themselves to you. Over to you, Lindy, please.
Hi, I'm Lindy Sweet. I'm in Brisbane in Australia. It's 8 p.m. here on a lovely spring day, and all's good. God's good.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Lindy. I forgot to mention that I'm coming to you from Dubbo, New South Wales, where it is 1 minute past 9 p.m. on Saturday evening. Over to you, Tom and Wendy.
Hello, I'm Wendy, and it's good to be with everybody as usual. And we're both from Grimsby, northeast Lincolnshire. And today it's quite chilly here, and it's 10 a.m. UK time. So looking forward to learning the word of God with everybody today.
Thanks, Wendy. You going to say good day, Tom?
Yeah, good day, guys. Well, it's like Wendy says, a bit chilly. We're in our caravan at the minute, so we've got a building site going outside, but we haven't got any workers coming today, so it
should be
be
quiet.
quiet. We're excited to be sharing the word today.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Over to you, John, please.
Thank you, Gary. I'm John Tripp. I live in High Point, North Carolina, which North Carolina is in the southeastern part of the United States, and where it's just after 5 a.m. here this morning. It's a cold morning. It's around freezing. Zero, where most of where you got what you got to call about 32 degrees here. So, but it's a cold morning, and but it's going to be bright and sunny. And but Gary, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, John. And how are you going there, Craddock? Have you managed to get audio working? Can you come on and introduce yourself? No, looks like Craddock's still having problems with his audio. So I don't know whether. Hey, Craddock, can you give us a thumbs up as to whether you can hear us, please? Can you hear us? I'd say he can't hear us, nor can we hear him. So we'll just proceed. And I will ask Wendy to open this Bible study with prayer and to lead us through communion, please, Wendy. And could I
Father,
ask
we just thank
everybody to mute themselves while Wendy's leading us through communion? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that we can meet together. I thank you that distance is no issue with you. And I thank you that your word is alive and sharp and active. And we just thank you that as we learn your word together, that your Holy Spirit says that he will teach us all things. So I ask that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand and give us revelation knowledge. Amen. We're going to be taking communion together. So if you want to join us, please do. And how I've chosen to do it today is we have a declaration that we use at the church that we pastor, One Church Grimsby. And it's a declaration before we take communion, which is really powerful. We did actually copy it years and years ago from Joseph Prince Ministries, josephprince.org. So it's all based on God's grace. And it's such a powerful declaration before we take communion. And as a result of it, Joseph Prince has actually written a book, and it's just full of testimonies of people who've taken communion and how they've received deliverance from addictions, healings, all different kinds of things. And we've been putting it into practice in our church. And we too could write a book of all the people who've been able to testify about when they've taken communion and when they've fully had a revelation of it, how they've really received. We're not just saying the words for the word's sake. It's based on the Holy Scriptures, and there's power, like I prayed, in the Scriptures. So I'm going to read it, and then if you want to declare it,
repeat it,
that would be great.
We call it, when we do it at church, we call it the miracle meal.
The miracle meal.
So for those who are watching online, you can partake. Your only requirement, you know, we got into a bit of bother one time because we was holding a meeting in a church hall, and we was distributing communion, and the vicar minister found out, and she said, "Oh no, only I can administer the communion, and only people who have been what's that thing you went to."
Confirmed.
Yeah, only those who have been confirmed in the Anglican Church, it was at that time, can take communion. And if you haven't been confirmed, then you can just get a blessing and all the rest of it. Well, I've got some news for you today. The only prerequisite for communion is that you're a believer. So if you're out there today and you're a believer, you can take it. We recommend people to take it 3 times a day. You know, the doctors will tell you to take tablets 3 times a day or whatever. So we say, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, do it as often. So you can never overdose on communion. You can never overdose on the miracle meal. And so we do this and put it up on the screen for everybody to follow it. If the guys on screen and those who are watching in, if you'd like I'll just show you how we do it. And then if you want a copy of this, we've got permission to use it. So I don't know if you can see that. So we do 2 slides, one for the bread, one for the wine or the drink. So if anybody online wants it, we can send you a link, or any of the ministers on screen want it to use it in their own home every day, you could do it. And all we do is read it out and people repeat it. So we're going to do that now. Wendy's going to do that.
Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood.
So thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood.
Your blood has brought me forgiveness.
Your blood has brought me... You're doing the blood before the bread.
Oh, yeah.
Bread, but...
start.
Okay, we'll do the bread first.
If people want to repeat after me this declaration, so thank you, Jesus, for your broken body.
That's better. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body.
It is for my healing.
It is for my healing.
And my family's healing.
And my family's healing.
Thank you that by your stripes.
Thank you that by your stripes.
By the beatings you bore.
By the beatings you bore.
By the lashes which fell on your back.
By the lashes which fell on your back.
We are completely healed.
We are completely healed.
I believe.
I believe.
And I receive.
And I receive.
Amen. Now we're going to make a declaration as we remember the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood.
Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood.
Your blood has brought me forgiveness.
Your blood has brought me forgiveness.
And washed me from every sin.
And washed me from every sin.
I thank you that your blood.
I thank you that your blood.
Has made me righteous.
Has made me righteous.
And as I drink, I celebrate, and partake of your inheritance,
and partake of the inheritance
of the righteous, which is preservation,
healing,
wholeness, and prosperity.
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Wendy. And thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That was good. So anybody want a copy of that document, that whatever you want to call it?
Presentation.
Wendy, if you can email a copy through to all the ministers on the screen. And if you guys out there in the third dimension want a copy, just send me an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. I'll repeat that again, gfcd.sozo@gmail.com, and I'll happily return it to you. Okay, so we're doing a Bible study tonight. We're in Hebrews. We're at chapter 4, verse 1. So I am just going to read that one verse, and then I'm going to go to you first, Lindy. And we'll work our way around the screen in the same order. We'll go to, actually, we might go to John after Lindy, and then we'll go to Tom, then Wendy, and if Craddock's got his device working, we'll go down to Craddock. So I'll share screen first, and we're just going to read the first verse, and because I believe there's enough in that one verse for us to speak on. I'll do the reading. Okay, I'm going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm just going to read the first verse. And it starts off with the word therefore. Well, the word therefore, as Tom has taught me, I need to go back to Hebrews chapter 3 and see what that word is therefore. So let me just... go back to chapter 3. Sorry if this is a bit of a rigmarole, but that's just how it is with this app that I've got. We're going to chapter 3, and I just want to read the very last verse because it'll tell me what it's there for. And it says here in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 3, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He's talking about entering into his rest. So if we go back to chapter 4, chapter 4 and verse 1, so we can...
You're in Corinthians there.
Sorry?
That's correct.
You're in Corinthians now.
Okay, sorry about that, Tom. Let me go. Thanks for alerting me to that. 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, and he's talking about they couldn't enter into the rest because of unbelief. He's talking about the promised land. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have fallen short of it. Right? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, so we're talking about his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Over to you, please, Lindy.
Thanks, Gary. I've actually haven't been on for a few weeks, so I've missed the first bit. But I'm very big on reading things in context, and I totally agree. You need to go back and see what the therefore is there for. And actually, I was going to go back even a little bit further. It says in verse 18, the verse before, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. I think there's a danger with this in the grace message and the faith message that there can be a tendency of thinking that there are no works at all. And when we're looking at this passage of scripture, these people, the Israelite people, were told to enter into the promised land. They were told to go into the land, and to do that, they had to fight. And sometimes we've got to fight for things. And that is our belief, that is our faith, because we're being obedient to what God has told us to do. For example, if we have a calling and a gift on our life and the Lord tells us to study, which he told me to do, I'm not going to enter into the rest of God's perfect will if I don't do what he told me to do and study. So, you know, there is a point there where we are obeying the word that God has given to us. And even though we're in the new covenant, that does not mean that we no longer have to listen to what God is saying and be obedient to it if we want to enter into that rest of God. We're not just going to automatically just fall into some rest if we're disobedient. And I think there's a danger of that with the the grace message. I love the grace message. I totally believe in the grace message. But we need to make sure that, as Andrew Womack always says, there's a balance between grace and faith. And it all comes down to our relationship with God and listening to what he's telling us to do one step at a time in our lives, acting on that. I believe the Lord told me about 18 months ago that faith is a belief that causes you to act. If you've heard from God and you believe it, then you will act on what you've heard. And once you've done that, then there remains a rest for us. Then we have that rest of faith that we know that we're doing what God has told us to do. Thanks, Gary.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks, Lindy. That was excellent. Yeah, that spirit of faith, you know, it just, you need to speak. You need to speak what you're believing. And we need to say hello to, first of all, to Craddock. Have you got audio yet, Craddock? No, it doesn't look like it. And Pastor Keith and Pastor Kathleen Wall have just joined us. So you guys like to say hello and tell people where you are in the world? G'day, Keith.
Hey, Gary. Good to see you. Hello, everybody. I'm Keith Wall from WA Bunbury. Married to my wife. I'm married to my wife.
That's good. Oh, you're a character, Keith. Love you. Over to you, Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, and yes, we live in a lovely part of Western Australia, Bunbury, and I don't know what's happened to our spring weather, but never mind, praise the Lord, we're together again. Sorry we were late, but I couldn't find the ID number to get in. Anyway...
You're here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, you're here. Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 4, and so you guys will be coming on last cab off the rank. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're just looking at verse 1 alone, and right now we're going over to John for comments. Over to you, John.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. As I read this, again, it's one of these warnings that, or caveats that that Paul's put in there, because there was a group of those children of Israel who were about to turn back, as well as there are some of the Hebrews here that were thinking about turning back as a result of what they were experiencing. And Lindy's right. Faith is an action word. It's something that... that we learned in our English language, something that we got to do. We got to do our part. And and Paul was just pointing out, you know, it's his rest we enter, not our human rest. It's really faith is what we're talking about here, about belief, believing in the promises that God had promised them of entering into the promised land. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, to me, it talks about, you know, to enter into that rest, you have to be in belief. If you're in unbelief, right, you can't enter in. You know, my thinking is kind of black and white, and it just kind of really stands out that the choice is to be either in belief or in unbelief. Over to you, Tom, please.
Yeah, I mean, I just agree with what people have said so far. Again, if you read the previous chapter at the end of their life, faith is an action work. Faith isn't just something, faith without works is dead, but it's not works of the law. It's works of the Spirit and works of the Word of God. So we can empower, as we say, faith is voice activated, but so is unbelief. Unbelief is voice activated. And so he was really pointing out, I think, as well, that they didn't enter that rest because of their unbelief. And so because of that, if you read even further back in chapter 3, it cost them a whole generation that fell, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And so that unbelief is, a lot of people don't put too much emphasis on it, but unbelief is actually quite deadly. it's quite traumatic if you... and again, you've got to work on that. You've got to work on the unbelief. I mean, I think I said last week, about the seesaw with faith on one end and unbelief on the other. In order to get it balanced out, we just need to work more on the unbelief. And further down in chapter 4, it actually says, I think it's the New King James, it says, be diligent to enter his rest. So diligence means to actually, if you're going to be diligent, you're going to actually be focused and you're going to be spending some effort and some time. And it's a bit of a, it's a bit of one of those things whereby, be diligent to enter his rest. But it's almost like, well, why, how am I? So I've got to put in some effort to have rest. Well, that's exactly the point. You know, it seems like it's opposite itself, but it's not easy to spend time resting with the Lord sometimes because everything's going on, and unbelief can come in and unbalance that relationship. And as Andrew said at our conference that we've just been to, the ministers' conference, nearly everything boils back down to our relationship with the Lord. You know, how we live our lives, what we say, how we act. They all come out of this, whatever your relationship is with the Lord. And it's not just that relationship with the Lord, it's how you see God's nature. You've got to understand that God wants us to enter into these promises, which are all yes and amen in Jesus. And likewise, when we took the communion there, you know what, it's an action that we speak out and declare, and then things follow, you know. I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Wendy?
I think, it's good that Lindy's mentioned about sort of warning to about when you first hear about God's grace message, and because I fell into that trap. I went from one extreme to the other, like doing works of the Lord, and then I heard about God's grace, and I thought, I stopped doing those things, but I came to realise that wasn't the way forward. So it's good to remind ourselves and to remind other people that, yes, we still need to do works, but it's works according to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And like Tom said, from our relationship with God, and then we'll be in the right place at the right time with the doing the right things, not just working for works, for work's sake, just to try and please God. He's already pleased with us. Yeah. But we still need to put things into action, and we've still got people to reach. If we just sit at home, we're not going to reach anybody, are we? So we need to be in the right place. And sometimes even we pastor a church, and you can sort of strive, trying to get people to come to your church, putting different things to try and encourage people to come. But I've found if I just listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell me where to go to meet people, to invite people. And it's better because it's in God's time, and it's not an effort in the fact that you get stressed about it, but you have to put some effort in. It says go into all the world. It doesn't say sit at home and not do anything. So we do have to put action behind our faith. So I was pleased that Lindy brought that into light, because I think it will help a lot of people. Because I know a lot of people have got the grace message and they are actually doing that. No, they're not going to church because they think, I don't need to do this, and they're not doing other things. But then not only are they missing out, other people are missing out as well. So we do need to put works, do the actions, works, and the things that God's asking us to do in the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy. And the people out there in the third dimension, we're talking about entering into his rest, as it's described in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and onward. Well, this rest is not a snooze. We're not talking about having to take a snooze. See, Jesus is our Sabbath rest, and we've got to enter into that rest. Can I go to you, please? Who hasn't been? Pastor Keith. Yeah. Over to you, Pastor Keith.
Yes. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Let us therefore fear lest we, lest a promise being left to us, entering in his rest, you should seem to come short. So we can see that Israel came short. They were promised to go to the promised land, that generation. They didn't make it. The next generation did, because they didn't make it. So number one, we need to know, and as Jay Gary has just said, what is our promise? Where are our promises? If we don't know the promises, how can you claim the promises? So our promise is in Jesus Christ. So everything that he done is available to us. But if we don't know the promise, you can't claim the promise. But if you do know the promise, then you should be claiming the promise and not hardening your heart with unbelief. Say, well, that's, and then there is a bit of a tendency with some people, well, that's passed away, you know. If it's in Jesus Christ, it hasn't passed away. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing that Jesus Christ has done, whether it be healing, salvation, whatever it is, it's for us today. So we need to relate. We can see how they failed. They failed because of unbelief and hardness of heart. So we've got to be making sure we know the promises, claim the promises, but don't let unbelief and hardness come in. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Pastor Keith. Great insight. Thank you. Over to you, Pastor Kathleen.
Well, I just want to read, if I can, in the New Living Translation, because rest is a promise. He promised us this rest. He promised us, that's what the 23rd Psalm's about. People read it at funerals, but it's for now that we, you know.
Yep.
So God's promise of entering his rest still stands. And so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And just as we came on screen, I was listening to what Lindy was saying, and she's exactly right. Just because we're in grace, we just can't please ourselves what we do and go and have a good time out there in the world and John 1:9 it in the morning. So because it's all about the relationship with him. And my rest is in him. And so in this life, for me, God's rest means peace of heart and mind in the midst of life's difficulties. So even though things might be happening to me physically in my body or to the family or circumstances that are beyond my control, even in life's difficulties, God's rest, I can still have peace of mind and heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a knowing that you know that in him I'm safe.
Mm.
And I'm rest assured. But I won't experience that if I'm in disobedience with him. If I'm turning my back on what he's saying, or if I'm, see, the more we know, the more we're accountable for. So, for instance, if I say I'm upset with Keith and coming up in my spirit is, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. And I, in my mind, I say, yeah, I know all about that, Lord. I know I'm not supposed to pay attention, but I am paying attention. He's upset me. And you know what I'm saying? Allowing my soul to interfere with my rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because my rest is complete while I'm in him. So when I do what he says to do, because he says obedience is better than sacrifice. He also says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And just as a child is subject to its parents, I'm subject now to the word of God. So if I'm not close to him, he's not able to let that word come up within me through his spirit to say, pay no attention to a suffered wrong, because that's what love does. Love doesn't attend to what's wrong in life. Love attends to what the word says to do in life. So I'll just leave it there, Gary.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Thank you to all the ministers on the screen. How you going, Craddock? I've got to give you a 10 out of 10 for making the effort to get that audio working. Praise God, it's working. Well, first of all, introduce yourself, mate.
Hello, everybody. I'm Craddock Roberts from North Wales. I've had some catastrophes this morning. The laptop's not switching on, and the granddaughter flattened my tablet, so I've had to go on the phone, and I was all thumbs and not knowing how to get the audio working, but after trial and error, I've managed to get it going at last. So it's nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Craddock. Would you, I don't know whether you want to make comment. You've probably been just so busy that you haven't been focused on what we've been talking about, but here's your opportunity. Okay.
Yeah, I just caught the back end with Keith.
Okay, we're going to do the next verse now. I just want to speak to the people out there in the third dimension about this rest that we're talking about. You know, I think Kathleen, I think it was, that talked about peace. You know, you can talk about peace, you can talk about rest, but what's the practical application for it? You know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm trying to get it through to the people who are watching from the third dimension. What is the practical application of it? Well, we can say peace, we can say rest, but the Bible talks about that people for the whole of their life who have had a fear of death, right, they won't talk about it. You would have thought you can't talk to people who've got a fear about death. They won't talk about death. They just want to bury their heads in the sand and not talk about it. You see, if you've got this perfect peace that surpasses understanding, then death is a nothing. It's just we pass from this earthly physical realm into the heavenly realm. And we're reunited with the loved ones who have gone before us. But of course, way above that is we get to meet Jesus face to face. We have bodily resurrection. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. But we will all who have put our trust in him will experience this. Now, this to me is the practical application of what we've been talking about. This to me is, I have zero fear of death, zero fear of death. I know I'm going to live until past 100 years. I've always known that. And yet, if I was to die tonight, zero fear. Why? Because my faith and my assurance is in Jesus Christ. Now, that to me is that perfect peace. And, you know, if you haven't experienced that perfect peace, if this has all been pretty much gooblygoosh to you, then at the end of this Bible study, well, we're going to have a what is called, this is Christianese, it's called an altar call, or it's called throwing the net, or it's called the salvation prayer. It's where you get the opportunity to meet the Prince of Peace and to make him Lord of your life. Amen. So right now we're going to read the next verse. We're just going to do one verse and we'll go around again if we can. How long have we got? Oh, yeah, we've got plenty of time. Okay. So we're just going to do one more verse. Make sure I open the right screen up here. And I will read for you verse 2. I love this verse. I love this verse. And we're going to you first, Lindy. So For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them who heard it. Now, the reason I love this verse so much is I can still hear the guy who discipled me, Pastor David Sweet, teaching from the pulpit that verse, and it just like leapt off the pages of his Bible into my heart. And having, I'll just hand straight over to you, Lindy.
Oh, Gary, you really primed it for me. Thank you. I just ministered at a ladies' meeting last Saturday, and I ministered along some similar lines. For those who don't know, my husband David went home to be with the Lord 5.5 months ago. And I can honestly say I have not had one moment of grief in all of that time. It's been totally supernatural. And I really believe that it's a fruit of this verse, that I made a decision that I would believe the word of God. I made a decision that I would not grieve, because the Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. So if he bore them, I do not need to have them. And that's straight out what this verse is talking about. It. The word which I heard was mixed with faith in me, and I have total rest, total peace. I have no concern about the future whatsoever. I'm resting in God for my future. I know he has his thoughts towards me are good thoughts to give me a hope and a future, an expected end. I've got good things in front of me, and I have absolutely no concern for my life whatsoever. And it's because I've chosen to believe this word. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. We have to mix the word with faith. And it just amazes me how many people have not done that. I've had people try and talk me into grief. I've had almost like you feel guilty because you're not grieving. But the word says, Jesus bore my griefs. End of story. If he bore my griefs and sorrows, I do not have to have them, and neither do you. I had someone argue with me and say, but the Bible said, blessed are those who mourn. And I said, but go on from there. It says, for they shall be comforted. And not only that, that is old covenant. That's Old Testament before Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for us. So we do not need to have any grief. We do not need to have any sorrow. We can be joyful. I know where my husband is. I know I'll see him again. And for me, it's just like he's gone on a holiday. We're already living in eternity, and he's just gone from one place to another. And I'll see him again. So there's no reason for me to have any grief and sorrow whatsoever. And Gary, that was really good, because I hadn't even thought of it until you said it, but that's a very practical application as well of what this verse is talking about. We believe it, we speak it, we act on it, and we have total peace, because it's the word of God and God cannot lie. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Lindy. Praise God. One thing for sure, Pastor David is not grieving. He's in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Over to you, John.
Thank you, Gary. Can you see me, Gary?
No, but we can hear you loud okay. and clear, so keep going.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I hit the wrong button. I'm not a tech guy. But anyway, wow, what Lindy said. What a great revelation. Thank you, Lindy. That makes me feel so good. I was sort of the same way. I didn't grieve a lot when Ann passed. But I wondered why. And you just told me. So thank you very much. I didn't really think about that a great deal. So thank you. But this thing about what the people, they didn't believe. They were actually afraid to believe. And that's with a lot of people today, I think I've listened. They're afraid to believe the word, the promises of God, you know. And you hear it in their prayers a lot. And this is not picking on them or criticism, but I've heard them say, you know, oh God, please, you know, do whatever. And they're waiting on God when really that whole verse there, God's waiting on us for us to believe. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, John. Yeah, that's good. Okay, we might go to Tom, please, and then we'll go to Wendy, and then we'll go to you, Craddock, and then over to Pastor Keith. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Tom, please.
Yeah, that was good as well, because it's at the end of the day, we have to have an eternal perspective. We have to have a heavenly perspective. And if we look at things in the light of eternity, it will help us massively in overcoming this world, because I don't know if anybody's worked this out yet, but you know what, it's outside in this world, there's a lot going on, especially in the UK at the moment. And if we deny that, I think we're just not paying attention. But if we keep our perspective on the fact of the finished work of Jesus, that will help us massively. You see, when Jesus said it is finished, he didn't say it's finished, but wait for the next chapter type of thing. Everything was nailed at the cross. And so we have to keep our eyes and keep our spirit and keep our soul, our mind, will and emotions focused on the promises of God and on the promises of the Word of God. Because when we take our eyes off that, like Lindy says, when I remember when I was a young man, my mum died really young, and I'd become a believer and all the rest of it, and all I heard from people was, sorry, you've lost your mum. Well, my mum was a believer, so I said, what do you mean? I haven't lost my mum. That means I don't know where she is. If something's lost, it means I don't know where it is. I said, I know exactly where my mum is. She's in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. And that really kept me, because you know, I struggled for a while, because I was doing a really important, busy, responsible job and everything, and then I had all this everything going on. But praise God, you know, the word of God is what works. And when we talk about peace, generally in the world, I've done a few talks on this over the years. And generally speaking, peace is just, if you look at dictionary definition, peace is an absence of hostilities. That's what one of the definitions of peace is, an absence of hostilities. But it doesn't mean to say that they're never going to come, that there's not going to be any hostilities, there's not going to be any tribulations. It's just a temporary absence of hostilities is one of the definitions. That's the definition of peace. So even if people are watching today and they're like, oh, well, everything's going good, and well, praise God for that. However, it's all subject to change, and we can all testify this. Everything changes like that. You know, my world was going great, and then the bottom was pulled out of it when my mum at 50 years of age died. But praise God, you know, we have some good news for people. If you're out there and you're struggling with all these things, we've got some good news that we can mix the Word of God with faith. And you see, we're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That means we don't have to do the conquering. Jesus did the conquering. To be more than a conqueror, that means somebody conquered for us. And so praise God for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we can today enter into that rest, that supernatural peace. And I've maintained it since then. So I've never allowed, just interestingly enough, though, it says there are words that didn't profit them. So just watch out, because words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So words are powerful, and not all words are profitable.
Mm-hmm. Over to you, Wendy. Thanks, Tom.
I just think there's a lot of people, even believers, who were missing out, because they said they heard the word, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. And I think God's given us everything on the inside of us in our spirit realm. It's everything that pertains unto life and godliness has been given to us. Really, it's quite simple. All we're doing is using what we've already got. But it's sad to know that people have everything that we, or even ourselves. You know, we can, if we don't put it into practice and mix it with faith, people are missing out at big times. Like Linda said, you know, she doesn't have to take those griefs, but she's mixed it with faith. And there's so many people suffering unnecessarily, really. And I was just reminded, obviously we believe the word and we put the word into action, but also when we listen to the Holy Spirit, and one way that we can achieve this rest and peace is praying in other tongues. I was just thinking of the scripture in Isaiah that was prophesied. It said, with stammering lips and other tongues, you will enter into my rest. So if I get anxious or if I've got trying things, I just turn my anxieties into a prayer and pray in tongues, and then we can enter into that rest and that peace. Peace comes, because sometimes we're that troubled about things and things are too big for us. But I find, you know, when we pray in other tongues, you know, that really does help us enter into the rest, as well as reading the word and mixing it with faith as well. Sometimes we don't have the words what we want to say, so that does help me as well. So I hope that'll help other people.
And just to add to what Wendy said there again, just one tiny is view everything in the light of eternity. In 100 years from now, all the things, the people watching today, all the things that we fret about and anxious about, and it's not going to matter a jot in 100 years from now. What's going to matter is, did you say yes to Jesus? That's Amen. The only thing that's going to matter.
Amen. Well, we're studying Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And what does verse 2 reveal to you, please, Craddock?
Well, I just want to make a comment on the fact that a few weeks ago I went over to my son's house, and I don't have television. I've just got my computer, which has just died on me. And I choose to watch what I want to see. And I put the news on to get the time to get my granddaughter off to school on time, because I take her to school. And I should have switched the audio off and just looked at the clock, because I started hearing all these things that were going on in the world. And all the bad news, there was no good news out there, and all the bad news, I felt it sort of coming on me, and I could feel the fear inside me growing, because I was listening to words of fear. And I thought, oh, I've got to switch this off. And it took weeks to cast all those thoughts down at Jesus's feet, you know, and stop the worry, because I realized what was going on. I was being attacked spiritually. And fear was trying to come on me, and I had a choice as to whether to accept it or whether to reject it. And it says, bring every thought into submission, you know, to Jesus. And I cast it all down to him and made the decision that, no, I'm not going to choose fear. I'm going to choose faith, that God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. And we have to get that down into our spirit. And if we get in the flesh, we've got two enemies working against us. We've got the adversary and we've got our flesh. And if Satan can do his best to get us in the flesh and pay attention with just our five senses to all that's going on in the world, then we're opening the door to let him come in and create fear in our lives. And like Lindy chose to believe the word of God, that Jesus bore our griefs. Now, when my wife died, I was not in a position to understand that. And I've had to put that into practice since. And I listened to a faith preacher. I'm not going to mention his name, but he does a very good commentary on what happens, that Jesus tasted death for us, and that we're not going to taste death. We're just going to transition from this life all we're going to do is change locations because the spirit can't die.
Mm.
You know, there's two things you can have: eternal life, which is the life of God living in us, and there's everlasting life, which a spirit has. I might have them the wrong way around, but whatever happens, we're going to live forever. Now, we can live forever with the life of God in us, which we get when we're born again, but we can also choose to get in the flesh and let that rule. And we've got to starve that flesh and let the Holy Spirit guide us through the Word of God. To get victory, to keep victory, we can lose victory so easy by listening to all the fear. And the Hebrews, there was approximately 3 million of them, believed that they couldn't take the promised land, that they couldn't do it. And there was two people, Caleb and Joshua, believed they could do it. And they said, come on, it's easy, they're bread for us. Well, the 3 million Jews who didn't think they could take the land and the two that thought they could take the land were both right. They got what they spoke. And the 3 million Jews had to die in the wilderness, and the other two Jews got what they spoke because they mixed with faith with what they'd heard and said, you know, we can take this land easily. Mm. And we have, just because we're born again doesn't mean that we don't have the choice to walk by faith or walk by sight. We have to choose, and we have to choose victory, you know. Over to you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Craddock. Yeah, when you get, I'm talking to the people out there of the third dimension. I'm just giving you another practical application that came to my mind when Craddock was speaking. Now, we all get wrong thoughts. Now, it's not necessarily Satan that's giving us those wrong thoughts. It's our flesh. But when it happens to me, and I've found this to be very effective, I've been doing it since I got the revelation of my own salvation, I just say, get behind me, Satan. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Boom. Gone. Just like that. Just like that. It's as simple as that. Because if you start quoting the word of God, or you pray in tongues and at times when things aren't going well, it just switches off the aren't going well side of it. It's just like it's behind you, it's gone. You don't dwell on it, you just deal with it. Get behind me, Satan. Whether the words are from Satan or whether they're not, they align with his line of thinking. So, you know, as Jesus said that to Peter, when Peter said spoke to Jesus at once, you know, it was like, anyway, that's what I do, and it's been quite effective. Okay, over to you, Pastor Keith.
Hey, Gary. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith. So I understand very clearly what it's like to believe in God without having faith. You can believe about God, but you haven't got any faith. So believing is one thing that God has said. Faith is receiving what God has said. So you can be a believer without receiving. Because I've done that for years. I believed God, but I wasn't receiving. So this is why we must be born again. Our spirit, our natural mind is enmity with against God. So until you're born again, that word isn't going to really germinate in your life. So it's important that we have the word of God. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we continue, that means that I didn't start, I started, but then I stopped. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you start and you continue. What happened to Israel? They started, they didn't continue. So that's a warning to all Christians. I'm not talking about the unsaved, now I'm talking about the Christians. That when you do get born again, that you continue, that you walk by faith And as I just said, the walking by faith or living by faith is applying the word of God to every situation. That the word is working, that Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is performing the word in our lives. So if we don't do that, you could harden your heart. And that's what this is about. You do not harden your heart. You walk in love. God is love. You walk in love. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. You've got to take all that God... See, we're talking about the promises. If I take the word of God without receiving the promises, I'm not going to function as I should. I'm trying to do something for God that God's already done. It's a finished work. We enter in to the rest. Thank you, Gary.
Oh, thanks, Pastor Keith. Over to you, Kathleen.
Well, I've got quite a bit here because I just want to make this statement. If you believe that God is who he says he is and that he will keep his promise, you have all the faith you need. Because faith always accompanies obedience. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. So faith accompanies obedience and faith speaks. Faith is not silent. Faith speaks. And if you believe that God is who he says he is, and that he will keep his promise, you have all the faith you need. Now, I did a bit of a teaching just recently on the Holy Spirit. And when we're born again, this is why we have to be born again. Because then we're born of the Spirit. Because faith always accompanies obedience. And as we go on in the study in Hebrews, Craddock was talking, I just flipped over to Hebrews 11 and read 7 to 12. See, Noah was the only one saved. Noah and his family, only 8 souls saved. Why? Well, Noah had faith, but Noah put action to that faith. Noah believed God and built that ark and trusted God, even though he'd never seen rain, he'd never seen water. He believed what God said. He actually believed that God would keep his promise, and Noah had all the faith he needed. And that's why he was saved. Now we're saved through the Spirit, through that life-giving, everlasting Spirit. Now, people might ask you, see, without the Holy Spirit, I just wrote this down the other day. We have to spend time with him and we have to be aware that he's there because he's there all the time. You see, the anointing is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is the Holy Spirit is the illuminating revelation of the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit, that's his work. He illuminates and reveals Jesus. He reveals the word. He reveals those promises. But then we have to take hold of them and actually do what he says to do. But like Keith was saying, we can't have a hardened heart because faith only works by love. Now we could get into a real teaching on that. Faith only works by love. Especially in marriage. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Thanks, Kathleen. Again, good. Really good. Really good. Well, you guys out there in the third dimension, have you enjoyed this Bible study? If you have, give us a thumbs up, give us a like, make comments, ask questions, and we'll do our best to answer them during the week. But at the outset, I said that we would have a salvation prayer at the end of this Bible study. So, you know, normally I just default to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. But today I want to look at this verse that we've just been studying in Hebrews, because it's talking about the gospel. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is all about your salvation. Let's get these. Let's get that verse up on the screen again. It's verse 2 of Hebrews 4. So, for indeed, it says here, for indeed the gospel, which is the power of God, which is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For indeed the gospel was preached to us. So there's the us's, as well as to them's. So there's the zemims, if you want to call it that. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Because it's the same word. The problem's not with the word. The problem is that it was not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And then it goes on to say, for we who have believed do enter that rest as he had said. And it goes on to say, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But we know that you have to, and this rest that we're talking about is that peace of God which surpasses understanding, which girds our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You cannot have that unless you've got Jesus on the inside of you. It's a great deal. Not only is salvation free, but it is just so easily received. One of the other ministers spoke, I can't remember who it was, but at the time it caused me to actually read for myself. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for it says, for with the heart man believes. That's the believing part. It's just come back to me. It was Pastor Keith. He was saying, you know, you can believe in God and yet not be saved. You can believe, but you haven't received salvation. Salvation's there for you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, you don't want it at hand. You want it on the inside of you. Because the kingdom of God is anywhere where Jesus is Lord. So I'm kind of working my way backwards to Romans 10, verse 9. But in verse 10, it says, for the heart man believes unto righteousness. That puts you in a position where you're in a position to receive salvation. But you don't stop there, because it's in two places. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what's this about confession? Well, if I just wind back a verse earlier, it says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, for if you, and I'm speaking to you guys out there in the third dimension, if you've had this tug on your heart from the Holy Spirit while we've been studying the Word of God, it's not from the ministers. It's from God himself, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. You have a Jesus-shaped vacuum on the inside of you that only Jesus can fill, and this is your opportunity. It says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's talking about eternal life. Would you like to receive that eternal life? Then say this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I make decision in my heart right now to invite Jesus into my life. I call him my Lord. I make you my Lord, Jesus. I believe in my heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you that I can now call you my Heavenly Father, and I can now call you Lord Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, then you got what we call born again, or the Bible calls born again. Jesus said you must be born again. You must. That's the absolute beginning of your Christian walk. Now, if you've just said that prayer, then you are in the family of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to need some guidance. We all need help when we first, because it's not just a matter of arriving. The fivefold ministry of the church is here to prepare the saints, and you're now a saint, to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. And that preparation means that you're going to need a hand. So there's more than just being born again. That's step one. Step two is being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll explain more about that at another time. If you will contact us, send us an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com and hit us with all the questions, whatever questions you might have, and we'll do our best to answer them for you, and we'll put you in touch with someone who can mentor you and help you in your Christian walk. God bless. Thank you very much, ministers, for joining us tonight. Lindy, can I ask you to close this Bible study with prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for all the words that have been shared. And Father, I pray that you bring them to the hearer's remembrance in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those ears that have people that have ears to hear, and that revelation knowledge is flowing to them even now as I speak in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray for a good week for everybody. And look forward to being back here again next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just stay on the screen, ministers, and I'll just stop the live screen right now. So just remember where you're seeing us tonight, folks out there in the third dimension. We'll be back this time next week. As Lindy said, if you're on YouTube, then subscribe to our channel and hit the little bell so you get reminders. If you're on Facebook, then follow our page. God bless.
You won't, sisters.
See you next week.